This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
The droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fumed. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
From the outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and fiancé, Nancy.
Hi.
On today's episode, we're discussing all the latest announcements about Star Wars Rebels. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. Nancy, we got a guest today.
We do. We have Brian, because we want to make this easy for ourselves, from EU Cantina. Welcome, Brian.
Hi, thanks.
And whenever we have a guest on the show, we always start by asking them how they became a Star Wars fan. So tell us your story.
When I was really little, I saw the back half of Return of the Jedi on TV with the Ewoks fighting the Empire, and little Brian fell in love with all the little Ewoks smashing things up. So my dad introduced me to the rest of them, and then we started listening to audiobooks of Expanded Universe stuff. And then I really took off with the Expanded Universe after that.
Oh, cool. So I always like meeting fans that got into Star Wars because of the Expanded Universe rather than kind of just, you know, the typical movies. Just because I know a lot of people say, oh, well, no one likes Star Wars because of the books. And I like proving that wrong.
Yeah, the books are definitely my Star Wars.
Yeah, so and you write for EU Cantina.
I do, yes.
So how did you get involved with that website?
After Celebration 5, I started talking with some people that worked on EU Cantina, and then when they had some staff changes, Andrew, who was in charge of the site at the time, asked if I wanted to step in and help out.
So wait, one of those staff changes, Nancy.
Was that my fault?
Yeah, that was your fault.
Oops.
I think Austin was leaving right then too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you're welcome. No, just kidding. I was writing over there, and then we started Toshi Station. I was like, I can't write for two websites at once. That's really confusing. So Brian suckered me over here full time.
Kind of worked out for you guys.
Yeah, I guess.
It's worked out all right.
I guess. It's all right.
Before we get too much further, a note from our sponsors. Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners of this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Toshi-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our vlog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast. And Her Universe has an awesome sale going on right now that just started today. A lot of the sci-fi merchandise is on sale, like super cheap, the Battlestar Galactica stuff. And also other Star Wars items are on sale 40% off. And I might have to buy the Asajj Ventress hoodie finally.
Discounted all the way to $24.
That's pretty good from 40. So we'll see. I know she's coming out with new stuff too, so I'm torn as to whether I want to get the stuff on sale or wait.
And if you're going to buy something from this sale, head over to the blog yes. and click on one of the conveniently placed banner ads, because we get a cut of every sale that originates from one of those banners.
It would be lovely.
Thank you.
And also, I want to apologize before we go any further. If I sound under the weather, it's because I am. Sorry about that. I'm sucking on a cough drop, so hopefully I don't start coughing during the show.
And on that note, we make Nancy talk a little bit longer with what's new on the blog.
Man. Okay, well, Emily reviewed the latest Serenity comic, Leaves on the Wind, number 2. Bria reviewed Legacy, number 12, which I think it's, when is that ending? Number 20 or?
I think Legacy's on 18.
Okay. Yeah, the 18.
And 20 is for Star Wars.
Okay. And Bria also traveled further along the Hondo Caravan, which is her Clone Wars rewatch, or not rewatch, watch, because she did not watch it originally. And this week she learned that people like to put Anakin in bad situations, and I will agree with that assessment. I remember when I watched that arc with a Obi-Wan being quote-unquote dead, thinking, what the hell are they thinking? Letting Anakin believe that his master is dead, that does not seem like the best idea.
You know, you can probably boil down the Clone Wars into the Jedi Council making bad decisions.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
And Bria has been debating whether or not she can finish season 5 before next weekend. I think she probably could if she really wanted to, but she'll probably finish the bonus content before we do. At least I know that's probably true. And also, Bria reported on her weekend at KatsuCon and posted some cool costumes. And one of her Marisaya Fel is one of her latest EU costumes. So go check out that post. And in convention news, we will be going to MegaCon in a few weeks. So
I'm excited for that. And they have expanded the area MegaCon will be in. They're using a bigger part of the Orange County Convention Center.
Yeah, they're in the other... If any of you were at Celebration, they're in the other building, the north-south building, which is smaller. However, I believe they have that whole building, whereas MegaCon last year only had, like, the E wing, or like the very far end of the West Concourse. So they didn't have that much space considering how big of a con it is. It really needs like almost as much space as Celebration had to not be super crowded. Like all the panels got filled up pretty easily, and they've got a lot of cool guests this year. They have, what's his face? Don't tell me. What's his name?
You're gonna have to give me some context here.
Bones.
David Boreanaz?
No, New Bone.
Carl Urban.
Yes, that guy. New Bones.
New Bones,
that's what
okay.
I'm going to call him from now on.
Henceforth referred to as New Bones.
And John Barrowman, a lovely convention staple.
Does he strip down to his underwear this year? Stay tuned to find
out. Well, yeah, the answer is yes, because he's John Barrowman. Yeah, and they've got some Star Wars guests there. So I am looking forward to it as always, and we'll have to take some pictures and put that up on the blog. So yeah, that's the
Emily and Bria show on the blog. We apologize.
No, we don't.
Well, it is time to move on to our next segment.
You can waste time with your friends when your chores are done. Now, come on, get to it.
We have bumpers.
Yeah, unfortunately, it didn't record.
Aww. I'll imitate it. You can waste time with your friends when your chores are done.
I'll splice that in post. We have a soundboard now. Hooray, it is time for Fixer's Flash, the geeky things we've been up to, and start thinking now, Brian, because we'll drag you into this segment. Nancy, what have we been up to?
Nothing. Really?
We've been up to something.
We went to Disney, but that's like nothing unusual. That's like common for us.
It's just about every day for you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because there are things you can do when you have annual passes.
Yeah. And like I said, it's, you know, really sucks when you have friends that come visit you that go to Disney World because you have to go to work while they're at Disney World, but then you can go to Disney World after work and it's fun. We went to Magic Kingdom. We spent a lot of time there, and I believe that's how I got sick. So, of all the times I go to Disney World, though, I'm actually kind of impressed that I haven't gotten sick more often. Because, man, those kids like to rub their noses and not wash their hands.
Indeed.
Yeah.
I've been reading through Swear Hat, Empire and Rebellion, Honor Among Thieves. Finally, you know, I get these advanced copies, and then I put it off until the very end. Oops. I'll be done this like weekend school. So I can get a review up.
It's like school.
Brian, have you read through that one yet?
No, not yet. I'm waiting for that one to come out.
Gotcha. But quick impressions. I know you're further along than I am in it, Nancy. You're way further along than I am. It's a quick, speedy, zippy, pacey read.
Yeah, it's good writing. It's the pacing's good. It's a good story. I'm just really kind of bored with Rebellion Era Han, so it's really not the fault of the author. And I'd really like to have them do more Star Wars because it seems like they get it.
Yeah, once the EU gets sorted out, please bring James S.A. Corey back to do another book.
And if you're on Twitter and you're following Kevin Hearn, who I believe he is in the process right now of writing the Luke, his Empire and Rebellion book, and I'm really... really looking I was looking forward to it anyway, but his tweets have me really interested. He said something the other day about Luke getting in deep shit or something, and then he was like, I don't know if I should have tweeted that. I'm like, oh, what are you doing? I want to know. This looks fun.
Del Rey did send a tweet out saying that they're working on stuff that we should be excited over. We just have to wait for those announcements. Hopefully we'll be hearing soon, though, because the rest of the year is looking kind of bare.
I know.
It's very empty.
Yeah, I'm sick of waiting. I think that's going to be the theme of today's podcast and many podcasts to follow.
Sick of waiting.
Sick of waiting.
All right, Brian, what have you been up to?
I have been having a Buffy caravan. I've been kind of mainlining Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel lately.
Sweet.
What would be a good caravan name for that?
Awful Decisions Caravan.
That's fitting.
What season are you on?
I'm almost done with season 6 of Buffy. So whatever season of Angel matches up with that.
Did you watch the show when it was on originally?
I watched Buffy, but not Angel. So I'm catching up on Angel finally.
I watched most of Buffy. And I watched some of Angel, but then they got into the Jasmine storyline, and I checked out.
Yeah, season 4 of Angel just grin and bear it because season 5 is much better.
I know, I keep hearing how the series finale of Angel is like the best ever, and I need to push through everything to get to it.
I remember the season finale, and I remember thinking it was good, and that's pretty much it. And I've been reading... I don't know if anyone follows Tor.com. If you're not following them, you should, because it's a really cool genre entertainment blog. And they have a lot of series rewatches. And they're doing Buffy right now, and they're in season 7. And they do a new post every Monday. But I've been reading through it, and it's making me remember how much I didn't like the last part of Buffy. And it's sad because I loved season 5 so much, and then I'm reading all the recaps, and I'm like, I remember why I checked out.
Oh, it wasn't that bad.
I don't know.
I'll disagree with you on that. I think it's just because I think the gift was just the perfect ending for that show.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
And I understand the desire to bring it back and make more money. But I wish Joss Whedon had had more balls to say, no, this is the end of the show.
Yeah.
But, oh well.
Alas, sometimes shows live on longer than they should.
In book series.
Yeah. If you've listened to any of our other podcasts. All right, moving on. It's time for Deke's Dirt, news from around fandom. Hooray! That time it recorded.
Yay! We actually have a lot of news, but
had to introduce a new segment, which you'll see shortly to discuss some of it.
But we're splitting up our news because we'll be talking about Rebels. So we're saving all that news for later. But we do have some more non-Rebels news, which is Netflix, as we reported last week, they have gotten rights for the Clone Wars. They'll be on streaming starting next weekend, so I'm sure several people will be playing Wookie Hookie. And they released a trailer for the season 6 episodes entitled The Lost Missions. And it was a very cool trailer. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know much more we can say about it.
There are rumblings of Mark Hamill maybe playing a character in these bonus episodes.
Did you hear that rumor, Brian? I heard that rumor.
I remember at Celebration, Dave Filoni said that they got him to voice something, but they were not going to tell us what it was. So I really hope that it's something in this bonus content, because I would love to hear that.
Yeah, I heard a theory that he was the whatever entity Yoda is fighting. And I was like, sold. If that's true, I'm all in.
Yeah, that would be pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I'm all for that idea, all for it. I love it.
Totes my goats.
You just wanted to play that.
Yes.
The only thing I'm kind of worried about, and this probably is because I wasn't the biggest fan of the Mortis episodes, is the whole, like, Yoda vision quest thing. Like, I love when they go into the Force, like, the whole Luminous Being speech from Empire Strikes Back is my favorite thing from the entire original trilogy. But sometimes I think they go too far into the whole mysticism bit. And, like, that's kind of how I felt about Mortis. So I'm worried they're going to do the same thing with the Yoda stuff. And then it looked like they were showing, like, stuff from Order 66. And I'm worried.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't want Yoda to, like, foreshadow that and know that's going to happen, because then it kind of makes him look really dumb.
Yeah, for not telling anybody about that.
Yeah, like, I mean, the whole Mortis thing, I guess I can, you know, shrug and wave it along, is because they didn't remember any of it. But
yeah.
If they pull that whole thing twice, I'm going to be like, really? You know, so I like the idea. I like the idea of Yoda having an arc. Although I'm wondering if this goes along with that clip they showed at Star Wars Weekends last year where he was breaking out of Jedi prison or whatever it was.
I think it does, because in the trailer you see him talking to the council, you know, saying that the voice he's hearing, you know, is not inside him when he's talking about Qui-Gon's voice, and that's going to make them think that he's insane.
Yeah. Yoda, you got to go to the loony bin. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And the clone episodes look kind of really cool.
That's the one I'm most excited for.
Yeah. I know D. Bradley Baker always does such a good job when he's playing the clones. So, yeah, that'll be premiering next week, March 7th, I believe. So have fun watching all of those on Netflix, as I'm sure everyone will be.
Okay, Brian, are you binging them, or are you going to pace yourself?
I don't work on Fridays, so I'm going to watch all those back to back.
That's a good idea. What are we doing anything next week? I guess we're watching Clone Wars. Let me look at what we're doing.
I see a binge watching in our future.
We have nothing.
Okay, so we're binge watching the Clone
Yes,
Wars.
Good choice.
I guess we have to.
Actually, speaking of the Clone Wars, I think we can announce a new thing we'll be doing on the podcast once a month or so.
Yes.
We are going to be recording commentary tracks for Clone Wars and in the future Rebels episodes, where we're going to let the listening audience select two episodes that we will watch on our laptops and record commentary on that you can then play back and play with the episodes yourselves. Thanks, Netflix, for making this easy.
Yeah. And don't pick stupid episodes where Jar Jar balances plates. Actually, that episode kind of made me laugh.
And we will be having guest commentators on, so Brian will be calling you.
Yeah.
I'll keep that in mind.
We should do a live blog as we're watching Clone Wars.
Oh, yeah, there'll be live tweeting going on.
Well, no, and just, like, typing up our reactions in a blog post, and then just post that, and then post an actual proper review.
I like it. This is still very much a work in progress, yeah. As you can see.
Oh, and if anyone is a Disney fan, which we are, Star Wars Weekends is the funnest event of the year, and it is getting bigger this year. They added a fifth weekend, so it is running from May 16th, I believe, through June something or other. No, May 16th through June 15th. And it's every Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The theme for this year's event is Join the Rebellion. And
please let this mean that there will finally be pilot Mickey ears.
Well, in the poster, Mickey is in the X-Wing. And he's got his little X-Wing helmet. Because he used to be X-Wing pilot Mickey. Because the first few times I went, he was X-Wing pilot Mickey. And then he became Jedi Mickey. So I'm hoping that there'll be X-Wing pilot ears. Because that seems too obvious not to do.
I'll get pilot ears. You can get another set of R2 ears. It'll be great. Yep.
And they also confirmed that James Arnold Taylor will be returning as host, which is awesome because he is a great host of that event. They haven't announced anyone else. They usually don't announce the guests until a little later on. But I'm hoping that they get some of the Rebels voice actors just to kind of introduce them to Star Wars fandom. It would be kind of cool. I know Dave Filoni used to always show the first trailer for the next upcoming Clone Wars season at Star Wars Weekend. So I'm kind of really hoping we get some Rebels footage there. That would be awesome.
So we'll be there. If anything happens, we'll tell you about it on Twitter. So follow us at Tashi_station.
Sadly, however, one of the funniest events of Star Wars Weekends has been retired. The Hyperspace Hoopla is no more. Let's have some taps for that.
Aww. I should have uploaded for taps. The soundboard.
I'm sad. I really liked the Hoopla, but if you've seen the Hoopla, I can kind of understand why Disney is now moving away from it. Because while George Lucas had no problem making fun of Star Wars, Disney really doesn't do that with its properties very much. So I can see them wanting to kind of retire the show. They are supposed to be having some sort of nighttime closing curtain call thing and fireworks, which I can forgive.
So we're losing the Hoopla, but we are getting fireworks every night set to John Williams music.
I do hope that Snig and Oopla, the hosts of Hyperspace Hoopla, have some sort of role in Star Wars Weekends.
Agreed.
If you have not watched the Hyperspace Hoopla, go on YouTube and watch it. It will change your life.
And it is time to debut a brand new segment on this show. Uh-oh.
Found anything yet? Nothing yet, sir. How about you?
Not a thing, sir.
What about you guys? We ain't found shit.
It's time for Big's Bullshit, where we discuss the latest in Episode 7 and sequel trilogy rumors.
Oh, I love that bumper.
I'm so glad we got that. And Variety, we'll start with Variety reporting that Adam Driver is signing on to play a villain.
Can we clarify that wording? Variety is reporting it?
Reporting,
it has not been confirmed.
Report means confirmed, doesn't it?
What?
Report means confirmed, doesn't
it? Oh, yes. It's synonymous.
I forgot. It's the internet. Where report and confirm are synonymous.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of inclined to believe Variety because it's Variety and not, you know, Joe Schmo blog on the internet.
And reported the same thing. Yeah, Entertainment Weekly reported the same thing.
But still, it hasn't been confirmed yet, so.
Stop using that word. Okay, that's another clip I need. That word.
That word. I do not think it means what you think it means. But I kind of like this report mainly because I don't know who the guy is. So I like not knowing who the people are because Star Wars is known for casting unknowns, and I think that's better than casting, you know, Gary Oldman and Benedict Cumberbatch and
the painfully obvious casting rumors.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I mean, they had Liam Neeson, which was like the big get for the prequels, and they had, you know, a bunch of people playing minor roles, but for like the main cast and the villain, I kind of like the idea of unknowns. And he looks like he could be a villain, at least the one picture I saw of him. Apparently, you can see a lot more of him if you watch the show Girls, which I do not watch. But I would imagine it would be like Mr. Big from Sex and the City getting cast in Star Wars. Brian's cringing.
Chris Noth in Star Wars.
He can do it. He's kind of a jerk. Well, at least in Sex and the City, he's a jerk.
So he could be Kent Hamner.
Yes.
We went there.
You know, that's kind of funny. Imagine of all the EU people that they bring in Kent Hamner. That would just be a middle finger to all us EU fans.
Moving on. Lucasfilm.com has relaunched, and they teased some Episode 7 concept art, including the Millennium Falcon.
Yes. Are you waiting for me to talk? You saw I was blowing my nose.
I am sorry. I'm sorry. Here, let me mute your line so you can do that. Thank you. You're welcome. Yeah, so there was some concept artwork in this storyboard group that was featuring the likes of J.J. Abrams, Kathleen Kennedy, and one of the pieces in the background was this art mock-up of the Millennium Falcon flying over some world.
Yeah, they had some other pictures, but those look like they were from the like original trilogy and the prequels, like they were already existing artwork. But the Falcon looked like it was a new. So I don't know if
it definitely looked like a new rendering.
Yeah, it might have been a troll.
Wouldn't put it past them. Like when they put on Tumblr, this is not the casting you're looking for.
What was that? Oh, it was a picture of Mark Hamill getting his hand cast.
Yeah.
That's evil.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to some casting confirmations.
Well, they begin shooting soon, so we're going to hear something sooner or later.
Soon. I'm saying that in quotation marks.
Soon.
So, yeah, Brian, are you kind of just doing the same thing as everyone else and just rolling your eyes every time there's a new casting rumor?
Yeah, except for this Adam Driver one, because it sounds like it is this close to being locked down, but everything else I have a hard time even reading.
The Adam Driver one is the first thing that actually feels like it has legs.
Yeah, well, because it's from Variety. It's not from, you know, some
other outlets like Markets are next one.
Yeah, like a blog saying a source, quote unquote. Like, I'll believe
Episode 7 News.com.
Yeah. So Markets are, which I've never heard of before, this rumor. Oh my God, like, I've never heard of them before this rumor. Why would they have made something up? I don't know.
Page hits, glorious, yeah. Glorious page.
We need
hits.
To make up a rumor. I'm going to start rumors from my source. The source is going to be my dog, but you can give me rumors, right? Aw, see, she's here. Yeah, she knows. Anyway, they say an exclusive source tells them that ultimately it's about twins and which will take a path towards darkness and which will follow in their father's footsteps, or at least that is what it used to be. That may come later, as I think changes are being undertaken to bring the original cast into the forefront of the story, leading to ramifications that lead up to the next generation of Skywalkers.
So Markets apparently just heard that Michael Arndt is no longer writing the script.
Yeah, well, we talked before about our feelings about the original cast being in the forefront, that I don't like that idea at all.
Yes, because if we didn't learn anything from the expanded universe post New Jedi Order,
that's the one thing they have to learn from the EU. Don't beat a dead horse.
That Eope is well and truly dead.
I know. I love the idea of them being in it, but them just like having a cameo or...
Okay, if this was a Luke spin-off being... film, The Expendables in Star Wars, sure, let's do that.
Now I really want that to exist. Can someone write that fanfic, please?
The Expendables starring Wedge Antilles.
I would watch that.
I would totally watch that. That would be the best. No. Oh my god, why haven't...
Actually, there's an EU book.
Aaron Alston, please come back and write Starfighters of Adamar 2 with Wedge, Hobby, West, and Tycho as old, cranky old men. That would be amazing.
All of them muttering, I'm too old for this shit.
Yes! Luke comes in all like smiling and cocky, like, hey guys, what's up?
As for casting, Market saw us saying that in addition to the all but certain returnees in Hamill, Fisher, Ford, and Daniels, and not that surprising alumni returning in Billy Dee Williams, Warwick Davis, they're also repeating the Ian McDiarmid rumor.
And they're also claiming that the Benedict Cumberbatch and Gary Oldman thing, which, eh. I can see Gary Oldman because he's kind of in everything.
Film studio wants Gary Oldman for their movie News at 11.
Yeah, he's like a chameleon and in everything, so I can see that. Because
every movie is eventually tied at some point to Gary Oldman and Hugo Weaving. They will all eventually be tied to those two.
But the good thing about Gary Oldman is I wouldn't look at Sirius Black and think it's the same dude as Commissioner Gordon.
No.
He does change his looks a lot.
Yeah. But, and with Hugo Weaving, you kind of get Hugo Weaving for each movie he's in. So yeah. There's a difference.
Yeah. But there's nothing wrong with Hugo Weaving doing his Hugo Weaving thing.
We were just watching Captain America before, and I'm like, he has a really good German accent.
Actually, can't we rumor Stanley Tucci for Star Wars?
Yes!
Let's do that.
He's did everything. Stanley Tucci for Star Wars. He makes everything better. Speaking of which, Catching Fire is coming out on Blu-ray soon.
Go pick it up. It was good.
It was.
Benedict Cumberbatch and Gary Oldman, because it's hard coming up with creative rumors.
I like the Michael Fassbender rumor, but...
Yeah. And finally, in backup the dump truck full of salt, it apparently took two Indiana Jones movies to get Harrison Ford on board for episode 7. Sure.
You said the other day, you said, why would he do Indiana Jones but not Star Wars? And I had a very simple answer. Because he's not the star of Star Wars, and he knows it. I'm very cynical about Harrison Ford.
Couldn't we just get him in his retirement home in Cloud City with his blaster?
No! Not the retirement home! The Sky House! Do I have to do another reread of that book series? Please, no.
Nancy doesn't want to reread Jedi Prince.
Oh, God.
There's your totally fun rumors on Biggs bullshit. And weren't those totally fantastic bullshit rumors? Thank you, James Earl Jones. And time for our next segment. It's time for Cammy's Concerns.
I feel like we should have Cammy's Concerns is brought to you by the letter C.
Okay, yep, as we talked about earlier, we brought Brian on so we could talk Rebels, Rebels, and more Rebels.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of Rebels news. The last podcast, we had just heard the announcement of, I still haven't watched the video, so I don't know how to pronounce his name. Kanan, woo, I got it right. So we met him, who is voiced by Freddie Prinze Jr., a.k.a. Mr. Sarah Michelle Gellar.
He got so old.
Dude from I Know What You Did Last Summer, lots of teen movies, and Scooby-Doo, and now voice actor guy. And I have to say, it was very cool seeing him be really excited to be on Star Wars. That always makes me happy when the actors are into it. And he was playing with his toy. That was cool.
Yeah, watching him play with that Lego ghost during the press conference.
So there were two teasers that they released, which everyone seemed to think looked like Catching Fire trailers.
I mean, shot for shot, that looked like a Catching Fire trailer.
Which is kind of ironic, given discussion we're going to have later on. But, so they had some teasers, which look pretty cool. And even more character announcements. Now, much earlier, I think it was at New York Comic Con, was when they showed the Inquisitor. He's going to be the main villain. And then a little while ago, they showed Chopper, who is the astromech droid of the show. And then in addition to Kanan, we've got Ezra, cue the better than jokes, Zeb, Sabine, and Hera. And I think the crew looks kind of cool. I really like the idea of them having a crew that's the main cast, because it's much harder to lose focus that way. And it seems like they're all kind of, play off each other. There are, I don't know how I feel about the two Force Sensitives, but I can deal with a Jedi, like, on the run, because that's kind of cool, as long as they don't have a bunch of them on the show. And then as far as Ezra, like, I kind of like the idea of a Force-sensitive kid having to deal with having the Force during this time period when, you know, the Jedi are basically destroyed, and acknowledging you have the Force can get yourself killed.
Yeah, I like that idea too, because, you know, just killing off all the Jedi doesn't eliminate other Force users than the Sith. So it's something that even if they had gotten every single Jedi in Order 66, they still need to be watching out for in the future.
Yeah, and they don't, because of, in the EU, its Force sensitivity is passed down genetically, but it's obviously also something that's just, spontaneous, because, parents will give their kids up to the Jedi Order, so obviously they don't necessarily... Jedi don't have kids themselves. So even if, even if Luke's order, they say, okay, we're going to have a marriage so we can have more Jedi, but they're going to pop up anyway and be like, oh yeah, I'm Force sensitive. So I like that idea. And it would be kind of neat to see, a mentoring relationship. And it'll be interesting to see a Jedi use the Force when they're really not supposed to be using the Force. One of the things that always bothered me with the Clone Wars is that it seemed very... it seemed to pick and choose a lot when they'd use the huge displays of Force power. So it was kind of always like a deus ex machina. Like, when they were... Like, especially when Ahsoka would be, like, running and, like, jumping huge distances and... Like, it just seemed very inconsistent. And so I like the idea of a Jedi having the Force, but not really being able to use it. Like, it kind of reminds me of, like, the early EU books with Zahn, and when Luke wasn't as powerful. So I like that idea. And Zeb, I just like the idea because it's Ralph McQuarrie's original design for Chewie. And it's really cool. And they don't even
It's nice that they're taking all these old Ralph McQuarrie things and bringing them in the old Chewbacca concept. And I saw a comparison between some old Darth Vader concept art and the Inquisitor and his helmet. And it all looks so awesome.
Yeah. And I like that they don't even have a species for him yet. I think on Wikipedia it just says Zeb's species.
It's kind of Yoda.
Yeah, it's a Yoda thing. I like that. It's good to always be expanding you know, having new characters and stuff.
Yeah, and to go back to one of your earlier points, I really do like that this is a very small, contained cast. I like the Clone Wars, but I felt that a 22-minute show struggled at times with the size of the cast that they had.
Yeah. It was very much an ensemble, almost kind of like a variety show, because they had such the arcs that were so disparate. Like, they'd have an arc about the clones, and then they'd have an arc about Anakin and Obi-Wan and Ahsoka, and then they'd have an arc about Padme. And while it was kind of cool to get all these different facets of the war, you know, it was really hard to tell a cohesive story at times.
Yeah, especially back when they were jumping around in the timeline.
Yeah, definitely. And I do hope that Rebels will go and, like, show some of the larger part of forming the Rebellion. Like, we've said we'd love to see them getting the X-Wings and maybe see some of the goings-on on Alderaan. But seeing it through one group of people's eyes is kind of neat. And then two other characters. We've got Sabine, who is a Mandalorian warrior / graffiti artist, which is a very weird combination, but I guess it works. She's kind of like the demolitions expert, which is kind of cool. And then Hera is the pilot of the show, or pilot of the ship Ghost, which I love that the pilot is a woman. I think that's pretty awesome. I don't think we've really seen that in Star Wars media.
No, really. I mean, there's even, you know, a female pilot in Return of the Jedi that they dubbed over with a guy's voice. Yeah. So.
There were a few female pilots in Phantom Menace during the Battle of Naboo, but like everyone, and Padme flies her ship, but she's not really a pilot. It's more of like, you know, her car.
Yeah, she's driving it.
Yeah. So I really love the idea of them showing a female pilot. I was really hoping that the pilot would be a woman, and I'm glad.
I'm going to bite my tongue on the Star Wars comic false equivalency of flying a freighter and a yep. And an X-Wing.
Well, yeah, because it's a Padme's ship wasn't like a starfighter. It was a
Cadillac.
Yeah. All she had to do was press a button and it flew. And 3PO was with her anyway.
So, Brian, are there any characters in this core that's announced that really stick out to you?
I really like Sabine and Chopper. Sabine is just a really easy character to sell, in my opinion. Like, just looking back at the Clone Wars when Bo-Katan showed up, everybody was so excited about a female Mandalorian, and now we've got another female Mandalorian who's doing awesome different things in Star Wars, like throwing graffiti everywhere. And then just Dave Filoni's description of Chopper as, you know, the cat in your family, if R2 is the dog, that really made me happy as a cat person.
Yeah, I want to like Sabine, but I have prejudice against Mandalorians. But I'm going to give her a fair chance.
It's okay. This one's not Boba Fett being shoehorned in. It's different.
I'm going to give her a fair chance. There is a Mandalorian I do like. The dude from
Shadows of Mindor?
Yes, that guy. Fen Shisa. He's hilarious. Yes, I think she looks very cool. And the actress who is playing her seems like so excited to be in Star Wars and really excited about the character, which is really cool. And then also
the cast seems really excited.
Yeah, the actress who's playing Hera has done voice work before. She was the voice of Jan Orves in Outcast. Yes.
So, awesome. In future Dragon Con news, at some point, someone asks this voice actress, so point blank, Jan Orves or Hera?
Kyle Katarn's beard. Tell us about it.
One of the neat things about Sabine in particular, I saw this explosion on my Twitter feed of people who suddenly said, oh my God, here's someone I can actually costume.
Yeah.
Yeah. We always talk about the diversity issue, and I think that they've done a really good job with their cast of having a lot of different types of characters, personality wise. It seems like they all complement each other, but also, you know, they all look different, which is really cool. And you've got two aliens, three humans who all, you know, all have different skin colors. And, you know, I think that's awesome. And the fact that there are two women on the show, not just the one, which would be really easy to just have one female character and be like, okay, look, we have a female character. There's her character. Just, you know, this whole Smurfette syndrome when, you know, we're like, okay, why can't we have more than one character? Like, are we not half the population? So I really like that there are two female characters, and I think that's pretty cool. However,
then it all went wrong.
Well, the fact that they waited until the end to announce the girls isn't necessarily in itself a bad thing, but it is when you consider all of the outside implications and the fact that this show is going to air on Disney XD, which is a network marketed primarily to young boys. And every time people bring up the issue of, well, why didn't they announce, like, a female character earlier? Why didn't they announce Sabine before Zeb, you know? It wouldn't have changed anything. I do understand why they announced Hera last, because they said she's the heart of the group. But, you know, have Sabine second or third, that doesn't really change much, but it changes a lot as far as perception goes. And the response is, well, Disney XD is targeted towards boys. I'm like, that's the problem right there. Because you're accepting it and you're making excuses for it. And I say, that's bullshit. See, I'm getting excited now. I said I was going to. But that's like, you know, I think, you know, Star Wars can do better, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they even announced the droid before they announced any women. Like,
that's what makes it feel like such an afterthought.
Yeah, it's like, it's not like, okay, we've announced these characters. Now we've got the best. We saved the best for last. It's like,
here's
some girls for you guys.
Yeah, it's, oh, here's the awesome villain, and here's the droid, here's the Jedi mentor,
woo, Jedi!
Here's the young brash male lead, here's the quirky alien, Chewie. Oh, and by the way, two girls, but whatever.
Yeah. Like, they could have done it differently, and, like, we're not saying that they did it purposefully to be malicious. Like, I don't think anyone is saying people are malicious when we, you know, talk about diversity and everything. But it's just something that people should think about and be more aware of. And the fact that the automatic response is, well, Disney XD is for boys, and, you know, they market the toys, you know, for the boys, because boys are the ones who buy the toys. And that just really gets under my skin.
Yeah, and Brian, you brought up a good point on Twitter. Essentially, you said there was no reason that they shouldn't have marketed Sabine before Zeb.
Yeah, I mean, she's such an easy sell. You know, Mandalorians have a huge fan following, and I've seen so much Sabine fan art on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen, like, a single Zeb, no Ezra, but so, so much Sabine. So.
And it's not just women who are doing the Sabine art. It's,
right,
you know, male artists.
It's everyone.
And that's why it annoys me, because it seems like there's still this old-fashioned attitude of that the boys will not want to play with the girl characters. They will not like the girl characters. And I thought that Ahsoka had proved that wrong, you know, but it seems like they still want to have this attitude, and it annoys me because it's not coming from the kids, you know, it's coming from the
adults.
It's
coming from grown-ups, right, who should know better, yeah, who are projecting onto kids.
Like, I remember I was at Star Wars Weekends one year, and I can't remember if it was last year or the year before, but it was, we were waiting at the merchandise tent, because Ashley Eckstein was signing at the Her Universe booth. So we were just waiting there for her to show up, and they had a cutout of Ahsoka, and with, like, with her, you know, Ashley Eckstein, owner of Her Universe, and then, you know, this Ahsoka cutout. And there was a mom who came by, and she had a little boy with her, and she goes, "Oh, you want your picture with Ahsoka?" And he kind of paused for a second, and I mentally cringed, because I was anticipating him saying something like, "Oh, no, I don't want my picture with a girl." But instead he was like, "Yeah!" And he got all excited about getting his picture with Ahsoka. And I, every year I go, I see little boys getting their pictures with Padme Amidala, with Queen Amidala, and Asajj Ventress, and Ahsoka. Like, they love Ahsoka. And I'm like, why do we still have this perception that, you know, that boys aren't going to like those characters? I don't get it. Like I said, Brian, I said to you, like, if we have a daughter or if we have a son, I'm taking him to those princess breakfasts and I'm going to make him decide whether he likes them or not. Because I just think, like, I don't understand that whole, "Oh, well, boys don't like princesses." I'm like, what do you mean boys don't like princesses? They're pretty girls. Why would they not like princesses? And they would be so nice to them. So, yeah, I don't get the whole. And I just think it's good to start kids early with, you know, yes, there are girls in the world. They're half of the people.
So, Brian, I'll ask you, do you think a Sabine action figure would sell well?
I think it would sell really well. I actually have already seen some people making custom Sabine action figures on Twitter out of old action figures that they're repurposing. So it seems crazy that they are waiting for the second wave put Sabine in. I think she would sell a lot better than some of the ones that they showed at Toy Fair.
Yeah,
I personally would have included Sabine in the first wave and kept Hera and Zeb for the second wave.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Have Hera packaged with, like, the ghost ship.
I'd buy that.
Yeah. I mean, it's, because, like, usually when they have the Lego figures or whatever, they have the ship and then the pilot with it. So that would make sense to have her with the package with the ship or whatever.
And the annoying thing is that it seems that Hasbro was content to wait until San Diego Comic Con to say anything.
Yeah.
And it feels
they weren't
even
going to mention it.
Yeah,
until
it feels like they only said that. Exactly. It seems like they only said that Sabine
and somebody
Hera
asked
were coming
them.
Because of some fan backlash.
Yeah, and someone asked them point blank about it if in an interview if they were going to have those action figures. And I mean, it seems dumb. Why would you not have action figures of all the characters? But that's the other frustrating thing is that when people spoke out about it on Twitter, because at Toy Fair they had some action figures, but none of the female characters. And so people were saying, are there going to be any action figures of these characters? And there were some people that responded, of course there are. Just, you know, wait, be patient, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, but you can't just sit and wait and be patient when it comes to female action figures.
Which brings us to a piece that Dunk wrote over at Club Jade last week.
Yeah, it was basically about action figures for female characters, why people got so upset about it. The fact that having these characters does not necessarily mean there's going to be action figures of them. That franchises like this are very much geared towards selling toys and very much geared towards selling toys to boys. And franchises like Avatar The Last Airbender, which people praised for its diversity and female characters, did not have any action figures of the main female lead.
That is absolutely... I didn't know that was true until I read this piece. I had no idea that the Avatar toy line did not feature any female action figures.
And if you
yeah, I mean, this is a show that led into, you know, Korra, which is a female-led show, and there was not even a single female action figure from Avatar. Like, it's insane.
Yeah, that and that's the stuff that's normal, and so that's why people get upset about it. And yeah, I was really glad that she wrote this article, because I think, you know, the thing about the Avatar toy line really made a lot of people sit up and go, oh, okay, we do need to say something about it, to make sure that, you know, we get these figures. And I mean, I'm looking at the action figures I have now. I have a bunch of Padme. I think I have like four Padmes. Because I've noticed, because I pretty much, like, I like to get different ones. Because, and like, Padme, I'm surprised she didn't have more figures, because she had like 87,000 different outfits. So in fact, that would be the best one to be like, yeah, have a, even at Disney, they have the Padme doll collection, where they have little outfits for her, like they have for all the princesses. But like, I have a few of the female Jedi, and I don't understand, and I bought them, I'm like, not because they're girl characters, because I wanted the Jedi. And I don't understand, like, if, you know, little boys are collecting toys, why, you know, what are they going to do? Be like, oh no, I don't want Aayla Secura, she's a girl.
Yeah, no. I mean, I remember being a kid and playing with Batman toys, and one of my favorite ones was my Catwoman figure.
Yeah. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. Like, I think it's a lot of projection. And yeah, I'm sure there are boys that get to a certain age and they're like, girls have cooties, blah, blah, blah. But I wonder how much of that is projection and being told, oh, you need to like boy stuff. And girls saying, oh, you need to like princesses.
Another great article that was written over the last couple weeks on this subject was Amy Ratcliffe's article over at the Mary Sue.
Yes, she wrote an article about the marketing for Rebels, how they released the, you know, the character reveals,
and hit on a lot of what we were talking about.
Yeah, just basically the frustration of, you know, being a female fan and basically being told to be patient, or, you know, oh, at least you have the characters, blah, blah, blah. And like I said, I'm really, really happy with the fact that there are two female characters, and that they seem really well thought out and not just, you know, the girl. But we mentioned before the issue with Frozen. Disney did not market Frozen as a story about two princesses because they didn't want to alienate little boys. And I'm sorry, I think that's really terrible.
I couldn't have been the only boy growing up who watched a lot of Beauty and the Beast, The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, Little Mermaid.
You are, Brian, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Well, okay, I was 13 when The Lion King came out, which is maybe a little older than the typical age for, you know, girls to be into Disney princesses. But I liked Little Mermaid. I liked Beauty and the Beast. I saw them. I liked Aladdin. Lion King was my favorite. I didn't want anything to do with the princesses. I loved Lion King. And I liked Lion King because of the story it was, you know, and that could have been very much Disney saying, we're going to market Lion King towards boys because it's about a prince and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, Disney, I think Disney has been doing such a good job with their movies lately. You know, Frozen especially is about, you know, two sisters and the power of love between family and not necessarily waiting for a man to come save you. But you would not get that at all from the marketing of the movie.
Yeah, Brian, you were talking about this before we started recording. how it took you a while to convince your wife to go see Frozen because it looked like a stupid movie about a snowman and his reindeer.
Yeah, if the reviews hadn't been going on about how amazing the movie was, you know, the advertisement would have never gotten us into the movie theater for that movie at all.
I mean, you just listen to Let It Go, and you're like, no, this movie has to be more than what they're saying it is. And it totally is. It was the same thing with Tangled. You know, I haven't seen Tangled, but I know it was supposed to be called Rapunzel, and they changed it to Tangled because they didn't want to, you know, alienate boys, which I think is so dumb because, A, you know, if boys want to go see the movie, they're going to go see the movie. Also, it's kind of saying that, you know, stuff, quote unquote, for girls isn't worth marketing and isn't going to sell as much, which if you've been to a Disney theme park and you've seen the amount of princess merchandising that girls wear, that does not make any sense because they make a crap ton of money on their princess line.
Yeah. I mean, princesses have been their bread and butter for so long. I mean, back, you know, in the 90s, there was Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast. I mean, Beauty and the Beast made tons of money and it was called Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. I actually was reading an article about the formation of the formal Disney princess line because I want to write an article about the diversity in the princesses. And they started it in the 90s because one of the CEO or one of the higher ups was at the first Disney on Ice show and saw all the little girls there dressed up in princess attire that wasn't official. And he said, "Why are we not selling this?" And they started with the set of princesses, and then they kept adding them on as more movies came out. And now they're up to 11. I'm sure they're going to have 13 soon because they're definitely going to add Elsa and Anna, no doubt. But the whole idea of with the toys and everything, I kind of tweeted about this last week where it really annoys me because it's basically saying girls don't buy as much stuff as boys, or that the girls, quote unquote, girl stuff isn't as important as the boy stuff, which, A, can we get away from there being girl stuff and boy stuff, period? Second, the whole stereotype is that women buy stuff. We're bombarded with that stereotype,
yeah,
like
you're
in every media. So, I mean, Her Universe came out and it was like, I must buy every single shirt that comes out of Her Universe because I had never gotten them before. And I like buying clothes. I used to collect action figures. I'm sure when episode 7 comes out, I'm going to be buying a lot more. I paid $40 for a Nominor action figure at MegaCon last year. I paid, I don't know how much money for the comic packs at Celebration because I wanted freaking Lumia and, what was the other one I got? I think I got Hobby and, Baron Fell. So, yeah, it's like, you know, I'm going to buy stuff.
Honestly, I think the most telling thing is going to Celebration. I think you should take a Disney exec and a Hasbro exec, make them stand at Celebration on the dealer floor and watch the keep stock of the divide or the gender ratio between male and female attendees.
It's at least half. It's got to be close to
50%. Yeah, it's got to be close to split.
And even at like Dragon Con and other conventions like that, it's definitely getting close to split. And like you see the crowd around the Her Universe booth, there's always people there buying shirts. And whenever they announce a new product, it's like, everyone's like, oh my God, I need this. I need this. I need this. Yet Ashley is still trying to prove that people will buy her stuff. And this is 4 years after Her Universe launched. I mean, it's like, I don't understand like who didn't, they're like, oh, I don't think women will buy Star Wars clothing. Like what? No. Yeah. women will buy Star Wars clothing. Women like, generally, they like clothes and they like to represent their fandoms by wearing stuff that represents it.
Yeah, and moving on to another part of the whole marketing of Rebels. It looks like there are three human characters that are not white.
Yay!
Which is very cool.
Which are all the female characters, actually.
Yes. And some fans were disappointed, however, because this wasn't discussed more through official channels. Some people asked point blank, are these non-white characters? And they didn't exactly get an answer on that.
Yeah, people were like, well, we just think of them as either the characters, or we hadn't even, you know, we haven't even thought of that as you know, what skin color they are, which I can kind of understand when you're creating a character and you just think of them as that character. However, when it comes to a visual medium, I think how it's a lot harder to say than when you're writing like a book.
Yeah.
And I can understand not saying like an official announcement, you know, Kanan is multiracial, but if people ask about it, I don't see what's wrong with saying, oh yeah, he's supposed to be a person of color. And they're like, okay, that's awesome. Cool. Thanks. But over at 1138, Mia Moretti wrote a really good article about why owning diversity is important. And it was kind of like every argument we've been trying to make, like perfectly explained. You know, and it's just because, you know, that you need to, there, you know, yeah, in the Star Wars universe, it's hard to pinpoint characters' ethnicities because they're made up. But it's the out-of-universe stuff where it's important. And, you know, you obviously cannot pinpoint, say, oh, yes, Ezra is Puerto Rican and Native American, but you can say he's not white.
And Brian, on Twitter, you brought up a good point where when it comes to marketing and PR on the diversity front, it's always better to err on the side of out of universe and set your in universe rationalizations away.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just like Nancy was saying, you're not going to say someone in Star Wars is Puerto Rican, but you want to make people feel included with it. Otherwise, it makes the show look bad, even if that's not what the show represents. Like, I was really excited when they announced Greg Wiseman was brought on board because I knew that there would be awesome female characters. I knew that there would be diversity. But then the way they're marketing it doesn't represent that in the show.
Yeah, and that's really, I think you can boil down all our concerns is there's a sort of weird dissonance going on where we can see this product that looks great on the diversity front, but when the official channels start talking about it, all of that seems to vanish.
Yeah, it's kind of odd. I hope the show speaks for itself, but, you know, it would... I'm really, really glad that Frozen has done so well despite the marketing, because it would be really sad if a movie that good and that well thought out didn't do as well because people thought it was about a snowman and a reindeer. 'Cause it, you know, it deserves more than that. And I know movies like The Princess and the Frog did not do very well at all at the box office, even though it was, it got pretty good reviews. So hopefully Rebels, I mean, it's a Star Wars show, so, you know, it's probably going to get a lot of viewership just on that, which is another thing that is really annoying when it comes to the whole diversity issue. You know, we've mentioned before, like, how awesome it would be if Episode 7 had a female protagonist. And people were saying, well, Disney doesn't want to do that because they want Star Wars, you know, they want to market Star Wars and have have it be really popular. It's freaking Star Wars.
Yeah, Star Wars is a license to print money.
Like, Star Wars is a franchise that should be pushing the limits. Because they can, and everyone will still go see their movie. That's why it's frustrating about Marvel, and why won't they just freaking make a Black Widow movie already? Because...
Yeah, especially when we're living in a world where The Hunger Games is breaking all kinds of records. Like,
yeah.
People will see a movie with a female lead.
Yeah, so you know, Rebels will mimic the Catching Fire trailers, but they're forgetting that a movie starring a 17-year-old girl was the highest grossing movie of 2013.
And the annoying thing is it's always such... The goalposts are always moving with that. They say that, oh, The Hunger Games is just a one-off special thing. And then Frozen comes along. Then The Legend of Korra comes along. We keep getting these examples of shows with female leads and prominent female characters doing really, really well at the box office and the ratings and bringing in all sorts of money. But the goalposts keep moving.
Yeah. And it's not just, you know, it's not to say I don't want any media without male leads. I just want... I mean, generally, in the end goal for everyone is the same, is to have good stories. I just don't see how good stories are possible unless you have a diverse cast.
I agree. And, you know, there's enough evidence now, especially in just the last 5 years of fandom alone, to say that female characters are not a turnoff to the male audience.
Yeah. I mean, Mara Jade probably has as many male fans as she does female fans, because she's awesome. And I mean,
so the evidence is there. Stop alienating half your audience.
Yeah, I mean, stop alienating half your audience. And also, like, it's also kind of insulting to your male audience, because you're basically saying, oh, you won't be able to relate to a female character. That's kind of insulting. I would be insulted if someone told me I couldn't relate to Luke Skywalker. And I'd be like, favorite character, actually. Thanks.
Well, it is nice, though, that we did get confirmation that those three characters are indeed of mixed race.
Yes.
Are modeled to represent
mixed
race characters.
Yeah. So, I mean... What we've had so far officially about the show itself looks really promising. I just might have to ignore the marketing from this point out. Yeah.
The show looks good on a diversity front, but I think we can all agree that the marketing can do better from a diversity front.
Yeah. I saw someone ask that they wanted... what's the name of this, whatever the spray paint company is, they want to have, like,
Krylon?
Yeah, they want Krylon to market, like, spray paint for Sabine spray paint.
I want Sabine's Krylon stencils. Yeah, I'd buy that.
Yeah, that's kind of neat. So yeah, we've got some news about Rebels, confirmation of characters, kind of an idea of what the story is going to be like, so... Yay! Actual, real, live news!
Hooray! any last thoughts on what we know of Rebels so far?
I'm looking forward to it. I'm kind of wary because I don't know where they're gonna go with the whole formation of the Rebellion storyline, and there's certain parts of the EU I really like of that, and I kind of hope they stay to it, but... If they just stick to this crew, I think it'd be a really interesting story. See how they go.
Yeah, I'm excited about, you know, a group of rebels flying around on a spaceship fighting the Empire. You know, that's the original trilogy.
That's true. And now let's hope that soon we will get some Episode 7 news and everything will be... Remember last year we were thinking around May the 4th we'd get some... Star Wars casting news, and it's almost a year later and we still don't have any.
That's rough.
That is rough. Man, it was over a year ago we got the director and we still don't know anything else about it.
All right, and my last thought is, Disney, the only thing you have to do to make me happy is not pull the rug out from under Greg Weissman, like with Young Justice.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah, was it Young Justice, the show they canceled?
Yes, that was the show canceled.
Because girls were buying their toys or something ridiculous
because,
like that?
Whoa.
Yeah, not enough boys were buying it, but too many girls were.
Is it money, money? Like, is it the same?
You would think.
But, big audience that you didn't think you had, that's a good thing, right?
Yeah. My Little Pony sure seems to think so.
Yes, but that's
and
different
boys
because boys
that.
Like it.
Oh, okay. Grown boys, too.
Yeah, so that's Cammy's Concerns this week. We'll be back next week with another topic. Brian, before we let you go, thank you for coming on. Where can we find you online?
You can find me writing on EU Cantina whenever we eventually get some Expanded Universe news. And my Twitter is at WakingTheDead17.
Awesome. And we're going to wrap up the show there on Twitter. You can find us with the handles at Tosh_Station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy with at NancyPants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with at Lane Winry, LaneWinree. This episode has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Check out the links on the site to help keep the lights on. We are available on Facebook at the Tosh Station Network. We're on the iTunes Store. If you like what you hear, subscribe. Leave a review. It helps us grow the show. You can find our columns and news at Tosh-Station.net. Thank you for listening, and we will catch you all next week.
Bye.
Totes, my goats.
This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TashiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tashi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.